At this time, it's my pleasure to welcome to this hotline former WWE superstar Matt Hardy. How you doing tonight, Matt?
Good. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing excellent. And first and foremost, thanks for coming on the hotline. We appreciate you. You've been one of our most requested guests, so it's an honor and a pleasure having you here today.
Good, man. I'm glad to be here, man, and chat with everybody. It's a good time to me.
Great. First question is how you feeling physically, and how's your rehab going?
Physically, I feel like a million bucks. I wish I could say the same mentally right now, you know. But physically, I feel really good. My knee is, you know, I would say probably 95-96%. It's ready to go, man. It's been tested already, and it's ready. I'm ready to get in the ring. And the thing physically that has been lucky that I feel like I've been fortunate about is just that having all this time off, these 6 or 7 months, you know, my back is healed up, my neck's healed up, you know, my other knee's healed up, just all the little aches and pains that you have from, you know, being on the road, whatever, 250 days a year and wrestling 4 times a week, you know, it just really, it takes your toll, and all those little, you know, aches and little nagging injuries have healed up, so that's been nice, you know. I appreciate that time off, and I'm definitely ready to get back in the ring, and I feel physically better than I felt in years.
Great, that's great. Ultimately, Matt, why do you think you were released by WWE?
I think ultimately the reason I was released was because I was the guy that was off TV, and I had been off TV for a while with an injury. Edge was in the midst of a push. Amy had had a ton of TV time. Lita had a ton of TV time. And then once the situation came out, it was an ugly situation, and I was the one that they could take the easy way out with and release me, and that way avoid any conflicts or confrontations. And I think there could be an excuse thrown in here or there, like, you know, well, the situation became public, and, you know, the situation was going to become public, and I commented on it, and I stood for myself. And looking back in retrospect, it may not have been the best thing to do, but I did what I did, and I still kind of stand by what I believe as far as taking up for myself and defending myself, because, you know, it was just a terrible situation. And it was a situation that I never asked to be in, and I never deserved to be in. And did I handle it right? I don't know. I mean, who would have handled it right? I mean, especially when you never expect to be in a situation like that. And, you know, there's even other things as well. Just like, you know, I guess it was a big deal about Edge's car, you know, having his tire slashed or whatever, but I was completely innocent of that, and, you know, I think I may have taken the rap for it still. So it was just, I think, real bad business and bad decision making on behalf of the WWE. I just really think if they would have actually sat all three of us down and talked about how they want to resolve the situation instead of kind of ignoring the situation, just hoping it would go away, you know, I think we could have definitely resolved something, because even to the point when I heard about being released, I got to the point where I was like, oh, okay, well, this is a situation, it sucks, but I'm kind of just ready to accept it and just move on. And I definitely have absolutely no problem with Lita now as far as interacting with her, you know, and as far as Edge goes, as far as Adam goes, then I would just, you know, kind of just go about my own business.
Yeah. What do you think would have happened if you were a better regular on television at the time? Do you think it might have, you know, changed their mind a little bit?
Yeah, it would have definitely changed their mind. And, too, like, you know, looking back at it, if I'd been a regular on television, it would have never happened, because Amy and I would have always been together, you know. And it's just like, it's not like she was looking for a way to get out of the relationship, because there was never any problems in the relationship, you know. It was just one of those things that she kind of found herself involved in, and, you know, it is what it is. It was just like something that, you know, that happened and shouldn't have happened, and it was just a terrible thing.
How did you learn of your release?
I was just informed of my release by a head of talent relations, John Laurinaitis, and, you know, just apparently, you know, he said that they were going to look at some other guys.
Yep, that's what I heard, too, that they were telling you that they wanted to look at other talent. Do you buy that for 1 second?
No.
No. How much time did you have left on your contract?
I had a year and something coming up in June. I had about a year.
Okay. One thing I've commented on here on this line was they told you that they were looking at new talent, and obviously we all know the reason they let you go. Do you feel you maybe have a wrongful termination lawsuit pending?
You know, I try not to even think in those terms, because that's just not who I am, but ironically enough, just because the situation is such a heated thing, I can't tell you how many people have contacted me about that and said, like, oh, is this something you should look into and whatever. I mean, even, you know, lawyers and stuff. But it's just, you know, it's just not really what I'm about. But, you know, it's just a very bad situation. Like I said, I just think, especially considering it was such a touchy situation, it was just handled, you know, poorly, or not in the best way. And I'm not saying I did everything right. I handled some things poorly, I think. But, you know, it's just something that everyone should have sat down with you know, the three of us, myself, Amy, and Adam, and the company, and we should have talked about it and worked things out instead of, you know, just things getting out of control like they did. I mean, I definitely think, you know, that would have been the way to handle it. But, you know, I was the one sitting at home, and I was the one kind of shunned, and I was the one kind of, you know, asked to stay away from shows, and I was the one that went in the mix, but I really didn't know what was going on, so that drove me even all the more crazy. You know, so it's just one of those things, man. It just could have definitely been avoided, and, you know, it should have been. And it should inform me. It should have been.
Did you speak to Vince McMahon prior to release about the comments made on the website?
No, I didn't.
Okay. That was one of the things that we heard. What was the motivation for the fecal comment?
For the what?
The you called edgy, you know, fecal matter?
Oh, as far as feces?
Yeah.
I mean, just really, at that point, I mean, just someone who is supposed to be one of your closest friends who would be willing to, you know, get involved with your girlfriend and someone who you've been through so much things with and, you know, so many experiences that you have that you consider great experiences throughout the course of your life, and then, you know, someone who constantly, you know, tells you lies about the situation, wants to ask about it over and over again, and just really seems like he's being selfish and, you know, just not being honest with you and just not trying to do the right thing. I mean, that's just really what I was feeling at that point.
Yeah, I think you pretty much answered this question already, but do you have any regrets now? Would you do the situation over? Pretty much knowing what you know now.
I would definitely handle things different knowing what I know now, yeah. I mean, it's just, I would handle everything different. I mean, for one, I've never been in a, like I said, you know, I'd known Amy for 6 years, and just, you know, the relationship has been great. Like I said, there have never been any problems. There, you know, once again, it's never like she was looking for a way to get out. You know, she was, you know, wanting to get married, and just during the time I was off, I was considering marriage. And, you know, then what happened, happened. And considering I've never been in such a long relationship and, like, so deeply in love, and, you know, after you know, the breakup and then just finding out about everything, I mean, I would definitely handle that different now, just after being through it one time. But, you know, when you've never been through that, you don't know what to expect. And believe me, it's just you go through every bad and awful emotion there is, and, you know, it just, you know, one moment you're sad and one moment you're angry, and then the next moment you're just so vengeful, and it's just, you know, it's just really a new experience to me. And it was, I guess the only way I can look at it now is just chalk it up as a learning experience. You know, okay, so it ever happens again. But just considering that, you know, you lose the girl that you were so much in love with that you felt like was your dream girl because you're doing the same thing and you got the same occupation, everything's great, and you build a house together. And then considering you lose your dream job, something you've worked for as a child, to acquire and get into the WWE and wrestle there and be a champion and have fun and make a good living. You know, I had all that stuff going for me. And then just, you know, over the course of an incident happening that I never asked for or never deserved and just reacting wrong to it, to lose all that, it's just kind of a bullshit situation.
Yeah. Prior to release, there was a lot of speculation that you could be moved to the SmackDown side. What was in the works for Matt Hardy's return to WWE?
First off, I think going to the SmackDown side would have been absolutely fine. You know, like, because if they were worried about a physical confrontation, it would have definitely been between, you know, myself and Adam. And, you know, myself and Amy, there wouldn't have been any kind of confrontation, you know, obviously. But if I'd went to the SmackDown side, that would have been fine. I definitely think that would have resolved all the problems. If I would have been on the Raw side, all the problems would have been resolved, and because I'm just that kind of person. I'm a professional. Even though, you know, I had a couple weeks of, you know, like, I've said it a few times, like, temporary insanity. That's kind of how I classify it. Just, you know, putting a, you know, a level of stress on me that I've never had before. But, you know, there were a couple plans floating around about doing stuff at WrestleMania, and then there were a couple other ideas circulating, and it's just, I mean, there were definitely ideas there, and, you know, come on, like, whenever I left, like, you know, it was myself and Amy and Kane were in the storyline, and, you know, it was one of the, you know, bigger storylines in the company, and, you know, I was a major player in that, and, you know, there was so much interest when I left, and, you know, the whole while I've been there doing stuff in WWE, I've always been a guy who gets kept crowd reactions, and, I mean, people do care about seeing me, and, you know, just like when Jeff and I were Hardy Boys, you know, we sold a ton of merchandise. People, you know, paid to see us because we had a certain demographic and a certain audience that just came there specifically for us. I mean, so there's no doubt that I'm, you know, with a useful talent as far as being there, you know, and there would definitely been stuff for me to do. It was just because of the situation is, you know, while this went out.
Yeah, I think a lot of us expected to be back by WrestleMania time, maybe end that feud with Kane. I heard also that they were working on something for version 2.0. Was there anything to that as well?
I don't know. I mean, with me, I was ready to go a different direction from, you know, the version 1 and version 2.0 thing. Like, to me, the version 2.0 thing seems almost a little cheesy to me. It's just, I think the version 1 thing could have still, I think Yeah, there could have been a lot more really good stuff done with, you know, version one and Matitude and everything. But to me, I was just kind of ready to move on and do something different, like something darker, like what I have in mind doing now as far as Matt Hardy, the Angelic Diablo, and the Skrull will become a symbol. Like, you can check out some of this. I actually just posted up a promo on thematthardy.com, which is pretty cool. Just kind of the basis of the whole character and the whole mindset. I mean, that's kind of, I was wanting to go in a darker direction, and that's kind of the direction I'm wanting to go in now. And, you know, they've always said, even at the WWE, you know, it's not up to the writers or the bookers or whatever to make you. You have to make yourself, and you have to promote yourself. So I'm doing that right now. I'll just do it on my website and on the internet until I'm free to, you know, after January 10th to go do it somewhere else, you know. So it's I'm one of those guys, man. I don't go away that easy. I mean, I'm just not going to ball up and curl up in a corner and die. You know, I'm a fighter, and that's how it's going to be, man.
I think your fans really appreciate that, and I think you said something earlier that right now you're at least sociable with Amy. Are you guys on a friendly situation right now, or is there still a lot of tension?
I mean, you know, obviously there's going to be some tension, but we're definitely social, and we communicate, and it's like, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, loving someone, it's not like a light switch. You just can't cut it on and off, you know, and if it was, then it would be easy, but, you know, that's not the scenario. But, you know, as far as Amy and I speaking, we have absolutely, you know, no problem speaking with each other, and, you know, there's still a lot of feelings on both sides, and it's just really an awkward situation.
Yeah, definitely. Can you clear up the rumors about your return to WrestleMania? You were supposed to be involved. At least we've heard the Money in the Bank match. Was there anything to that, or was that just one of those internet rumors?
Just internet rumors.
Okay. Because we had heard that you had thought maybe you'd be overshadowed, you know, your return by going to WrestleMania. A question would be, were you ready to wrestle at WrestleMania time?
I would have been, yeah. I was cleared, like, around the first week of March.
Okay. Are you surprised?
I've absolutely been ready.
I'm sorry, Matt. Are you surprised or overwhelmed by the "you screwed Matt" chant?
It's just, man, the way I feel and the way I describe them, it's really flattering. I mean, and I'll tell you right this. I'll tell you this right now. Actually, I'll go ahead and say this on your show. I actually have a kind of like a fan email address and also a contact email address if anybody is interested in contacting Matt Hardy. It's actually Angelic Diablo at earthlink.net. Angelic Diablo at earthlink.net. And the whole reason I'm giving that out is because I was going to say I'd actually given that out before, and just the feedback I got from just people in general, especially guys and girls that have been involved in a situation so similar to mine where they had someone they loved a lot and it was one of their closer friends. You know, and something happened, and then, you know, they were hurt by it, and then it, you know, just leads them to a real bad time in their life, and it's unbelievable. I mean, I've literally received thousands. I would probably guess 2,500 emails, you know, along the lines of just people just explaining their whole situation to me and just saying, you know, wow, I know this happened to you, and I've been following it, and, you know, it's just terrible that this happened, you know, and you still stood up for what you thought was right, and, you know, you've even admitted that maybe you didn't handle the situation right, but then you lost your job on top of it, and that's what you worked your whole life for, but now you're still saying, like, you know, sure, I have lost all this, but, you know, I'm not quitting, I'm not giving up, and just so many people just emailed me and just said, wow, you just really inspired me to, you know, really pick up the pieces, just like you said, pick up the pieces and move on, because, like, dude, life doesn't stop for anybody. You know what I mean? Everybody runs across, you know, just terrible situations in their life, and, you know, I'm so fortunate. I have a nice house, I have a nice car, I'm healthy. You know, I've got a brother, you know, I've got a dad, you know, I mean, there's things in my life, I haven't lost everything, but I mean, I lost definitely probably the two most important things in my life, and I just know that, like, man, you just can't sit back and, you can't sit back and cry and just die and kill yourself, or you have to move on.
Yeah.
And even the few weeks that have gone on, you know, like, I know that I was, like, you know, emotionally pretty torn about a lot of things, but, you know, I'm just at the point now, especially for the last 2 or 3 weeks, where I'm just past this. Even, like, I'm not going to sit back and talk about the situation and sit out here and, you know, just trash talk Adam or trash talk Amy. I'm just past that, you know. What is what is, and it's just time for me to move on, man. And the whole thing that made Matt Hardy what Matt Hardy is being positive and, like, doing the right thing and, like, always setting a good example. And, you know, I've kind of, you know, when people look at me like a role model, I want to be a role model. And, you know, it's time for me to get back to that. I just hate I was put in a situation where it kind of, you know, like I said, for a couple of weeks, I became temporarily insane, and it pulled me out of what I really am. But, you know, it just took me a few weeks, but I'm definitely back on the track, and it's just time to get things, you know, going in my direction and making good things happen again, and that's where I'm at. So, with all that said, to answer your question, I'm taking the long way around. You know, when I do hear people chant, "We want Matt," or "You screwed Matt," or whatever, I mean, to me, it's just very flattering, because I think, one, even above and beyond people saying, like, "Oh, wow, I love Matt Hardy as a performer," and, you know, "I love when he goes, I'm B1, nah!" I think even beyond that, people just really sympathize with me in my situation, because it's just something that's happened to so many people, and it's just, it's just really, it's just really a terrible, hard situation to have to endure. And really, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. But there's so many people who've been through that, and then they see me, someone who's kind of like in the limelight or in the public eye, and they're just kind of like, wow, this is, somebody that we know, and it's happening to him too. And like, actually, it's interesting to see how he handles it, and he's still, trying to make the most out of things in the end. And I think it's kind of inspirational to people just to see somebody that they know and they've seen on TV having to deal with the same thing. So I think that's one of the reasons, I mean, people are really behind me and they sympathize with me so much, just because, it's a terrible situation, and they know what all it cost me, and they just really rally behind me because they know it's something that's happened to a lot of people, and it happens, and they want to see me still make the best of things, and they're behind me. So I appreciate that, man, more than anything else. Like, even my website, TheMattHardy.com, when I go in there, just people come in and they post stories or inspirational things, or, I mentioned this autograph session, and, you said this to me, and it really, it meant a lot to me, and I applied it to so many situations in my life. I mean, dude, to me, the greatest gift I can get back from, being a professional wrestler or someone that has a TV celebrity or whatever, is just being able to, really give back and influence other people and make a difference, a positive difference in people's lives, man. And I'm glad I've been able to do that, and I think people really know that I take pride in doing that, and that's why, that's why they believe in me the way they do.
Yeah, I think you're a very genuine person, and you mentioned the email address before, and before maybe people didn't have a chance to write it down. Why don't you give it one more time, and then also, what was your reaction to the online petition where at last count, it was like 20,000 people have signed that petition to bring Matt Hardy back to WWE?
Yeah, man, the petition, once again, it was just one of those things like, even when I wasn't looking for people to start petitions and, people to email me and just say, thanks for handling the situation like you did. And it's just, really nice that I can relate to you because I've been through a similar situation. I mean, I wasn't looking for any of this, whenever all this went down and, if I did, talk about something on my website or did vent my feelings, it was just done to vent because I felt like I'd been shunned from, the person I love most and somebody, one of my closest friends and, the company that I work for. I just felt very shunned. And, not saying it was right. It was probably very rash decision-making, but, what is what is. And just, for people to really, just be inspired by that, I mean, it really does mean a lot to me. And for people to be inspired enough to, like, start a petition to say, we want Matt back in the WWE and be around whatever, 20,000 names or whatever, I mean, it's just very flattering, man. I'm just very honored that there are people out there that really, believe in me that much. And it just, I can't thank them enough. And, I mean, I've always been the kind of person, just in wrestling, because I grew up as such a fan, I know without them there would be no me, I mean, without them, the fan and the consumer, there would be no WWE. I mean, so their voices count. It's just like people make a huge deal about, voting. Every vote counts. Let your voice be heard. Every vote counts. I mean, same thing when you look at the WWE product or any product or, a Matt Hardy fan base. I mean, every fan counts. And I know that, man. When I meet people at autograph sessions, I always go out of my way to, I try and treat them a little special. Or if I'm sitting down and eating dinner and somebody is excited because everyone wants to autograph, a lot of wrestlers will go, "Hey, get away, I'm eating." I never do it, man. You can't do that, man. Those are the people that keep you in business, and those people care about you in more ways than you would ever think, and you really have to be good to them. And, for anyone who is interested, once again, in sharing a story or contacting me in whatever way, the email address is, you asked me to repeat just a minute ago, is TheAngelicDiablo, AngelicDiablo. Angelic Diablo. I feel like I'm a spelling bee. AngelicDiablo@earthlink.net.
Yeah, definitely email Matt and tell him you heard him right here on the hotline, and say hi to him and let him, share an experience, share some kind words, anything on your mind. I'm sure Matt would be more than happy to hear from the fans on any topic, any subject, and we definitely encourage people here on the hotline, Matt, to sign the petition. We had it on the website for quite a while, and I was overwhelmed also by the amount of people signing that petition, and hopefully, hopefully something can happen. And along the same lines, Matt, if WWE would call tomorrow, Vince McMahon calls tomorrow and said, you know, Matt, we made a mistake, we want you back in the company, would you go back?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before. Yeah, I would, but, I mean, you know, what are the chances of that happening? I mean, who knows? But, I mean, the thing is, like, I love the WWE, man, and I've said it before, like, I'm WWE through and through, and it's just, like, my experiences there were great, and I would not be where I am right now. I would not be sitting on this phone talking to you if it weren't for Vince McMahon and the WWE, and I know that. A lot of people, you know, get upset because they leave on some bad situation, just go, oh, I hate them, and I hate everything they stand for, But, I mean, come on, you got to be realistic. I mean, I have a lot of nice things because of the WWE, and I love performing there. I really hate how things went down the end. I just, you know, think the situation should have been handled differently, man. I just think it was really bad from, you know, a moral and business standpoint. I mean, that's honestly how I feel. But, yeah, I mean, I would. And I think anybody that said they wouldn't, you know, would be lying. And I just want to go to somewhere, wherever it may be, where I can get in a wrestling ring, and I can do what I love more than anything else, and that's wrestle and entertain the people that, you know, want to pay to come into a building and watch and, you know, get enjoyment out of that and, you know, be on TV and then meet these people and, you know, inspire them and help set a good example, because I don't think there's enough of that goes on these days. There's not enough people that go out and, you know, try and set good examples or try and, you know, be the bigger person or be the right person. You know, that's kind of my new thing, especially after going through this, you know, personal turmoil that I've been through for the last couple of months. I mean, it's really, if anything, I'm just going to try and use it as a lesson in my life that, you know, really bad stuff happens and do all you can do to help other people avoid being in the situation.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it about you, Matt. Like we said, you're very genuine. I know you're out there for the fans. And the next question would be, what are you going to miss most about working for WWE?
I just guess, man, I mean, as far as not working for WWE, I mean, it just is. I mean, WWE is the biggest wrestling company that there's ever been in the history of the business, and you know, it carries the most prestige. And when you wrestle for the WWE, I mean, you're definitely at the top of the pack. And, you know, their TV is so powerful, it's unbelievable. I mean, you're seen everywhere, and you're able to reach so many people. And, you know, those are the main things, you know. And it just, there's a lot of guys there that are really close friends, and I'll still talk to them, and I'll be able to see them, like, you know, when I'm in their areas and stuff. But it's just, you miss being with them all the time because they're like your family, you know. So those are the things that I would definitely miss most. But, you know, just we'll see what my future holds. But whenever my no compete is up on July 10th or whatever, you know, TNA, I really think they have a good thing going. And I really think there are so many guys down there that just bust their ass night in and night out whenever they perform for those guys. And, you know, I like some of the stuff they're doing. And if it so happens that, you know, I'm free then and I choose to go wrestle for TNA, you know, I will give them everything I have, man, from all aspects. And, you know, I've learned a lot over the years in the wrestling business, and I feel like there's a lot I can contribute, you know, to other places in the business, you know, more than just being in the ring and being a wrestler. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to give back, man, because so many people just take and take and take and never give back, and I'm not cool with that. I want to give back.
Yeah, I want to ask you about TNA in just one second. Before we leave WWE, who do you think ultimately made the final decision to release you? Do you think it was John Laurinaitis, or do you think it was Vince McMahon?
Once again, man, it's just like, you know, I don't want to sit here and speculate or, you know, speak on half-truths, but I don't know. I mean, I would imagine any releases, you know, Vince has to have knowledge of it, you know, but I would imagine it would be a John Laurinaitis thing more than anything else.
And the other report we heard that apparently, you know, again, these are internet rumors, that apparently there was a grudge between you and John Laurinaitis that led to your release. Do you buy anything into that also?
You never know, man. I don't know, you know, I mean, like, you know, as far as working with John Laurinaitis on a level, like, I didn't have any problems with him. Did he have problems towards me? I don't know. I mean, I just know when, you know, I actually saw these rumors too, you know, so against the WCW when they came in, like, all the WCW guys, like, you know, I respect them. They're guys, especially the wrestlers, they're guys who are doing the same thing that we're doing. They're out there trying to entertain, putting their life and health on the line every night. And, you know, I definitely didn't have any problem with those guys. It just made it tough for everyone at the WWE just because, you know, there was now a whole another locker room in there that, you know, that had to be put on TV and just kind of, you know, you kind of had to fight for spots a little more. But, you know, I think the whole while with John Laurinaitis and, you know, maybe even Fit Finley coming from WCW, I think we had different points of views on things. and maybe didn't see things in the exact same light. But, you know, it's definitely, you know, I, once again, I don't want to speculate and say what was what because I don't know. But, you know, is there truth to that? I don't know. But I just know that, you know, we didn't see eye to eye on anything. So I just,
okay.
You know, all I can really say is I don't know because I don't know.
Okay, that's fair enough. I think it was the night of the Madison Square Garden show. You put up comments by Adam Copeland's wife.
Adam Copeland's wife put up those comments.
Okay. Well, it was on your website, so I was wondering, did you agree with a lot of the comments that she put up there, such as that Edge was a 6'4", skinny guy that otherwise wouldn't have been anything without steroids, and also that Amy really couldn't wrestle very much unless she was in the ring with somebody very talented, and she was injury-prone?
Well, regardless of how I'd feel about those comments, I'll start by saying this. Like, actually, at night, like, I've spoke with Lisa a lot just because, you know, we're both in the same boat. We both have been hurt very much by this whole situation, and she really is a very sweet person, especially from, you know, the conversations I've had with her, and I've spoke with her a lot as far as, you know, over the course of this whole situation. But I know there was a point where she just was really tired of being, you know, the nameless, faceless person that was just the, you know, fourth name in here that was just always referred to as Edge's wife or whatever, and I just know
sure.
She had things that she wanted to say, and she'd been talking about saying things for a while, and, you know, she actually just went on my board to post it. And actually, whenever she posted it, I actually didn't know she had posted that night, and I didn't know exactly what she said till I read it, you know. So as far as, the, you know, what she said being true, and once again, like, some things she said that were about from her and Adam and their personal life, personal situation, I really don't know. Once again, it's like, I can't comment on things or, you know, speculate on things. I don't know, you know, on my own. But, you know, I just know that she was a huge victim in the situation. I know that she was just, you know, she'd been treated really bad and just like she was in a tough situation. So I just really sympathize with her.
Yeah, definitely. I guess the next question is, where do you go from here? And is TNA pretty much a lock at this point?
Well, I guess nothing's a lock until, you know, July 11th, which, you know, it's when I officially, you know, I'm not under contract with WWE, but, you know, my brother's there, and he really enjoys it, and this is actually a pretty funny story. I was told this either, like, after hearing about my release, the first person I contacted was my brother, and I just thought he's going to be like, oh, man, that sucks. He goes, this is actually what Jeff said. I said, yeah, I just want to tell you, blah, 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 I just thought so and so, and I was really, he said, oh, my God, that is great. He said, God, you're going to love it in TNA when you do this, and you know, I had to work, like, every 2 weeks, and blah, 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 and we're going to do this. And it was just, at least you're very optimistic about things.
Yeah, definitely.
That was actually the first thing that he said, which, you know, which actually was kind of gave me a chuckle right there, which I needed at that point. But I don't know, man. You know, I like a lot of stuff that they do, and I just, you know, I think they work really hard. They, you know, it's very obvious that they don't have the star power or, you know, the TV, you know, the TV power that WWE has, but they have a lot of guys, man, that really, really work hard and bust their ass, man. And, you know, I've known Jeff Jarrett for a long time, and I really like Jeff. I think I think Jeff Jarrett's a really good guy. You know, AJ Styles, and this Chris Daniels. There's a ton of guys down there that are really talented. You know, and there's a lot of guys down there that I'm friends with from the past. And you know, my brother being there, Raven, I've known him for a long time, and you know, Chris Daniels as well. But there's a lot of guys down there that I think are talented and that I'm friends with, and it would probably be a definite foreseeable option, you know, after July 10th.
What would be your preference if you went to TNA? Would you like to reunite the Hardy Boys with your brother, or would you like to go more in a single direction?
I've said this before, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this, but I mean, my thing is right now, like, I honest to God, like, and if I didn't believe this, I wouldn't be saying it, and most people know, like, from speaking to me, I'm pretty honest about what I feel. Like, I feel right now, at this moment, I just turned 30, but I feel like I'm in the best shape I've been in a long, long time, and I feel like I have more to offer the wrestling industry than I ever have before. And if I would go to TNA, I would like to have an association with Jeff, but not necessarily be tied down as just being, you know, Matt and Jeff Hardy as a tag team. You know, I'd like to have an association with him, but I really want a chance to do my thing on my own, and I want someone to give me the ball and let me run with it because I feel like I can score touchdowns.
Yeah, Jeff,
I really do.
Yeah, man, I think you know, you could obviously do the program with your brother, you know, reuniting, but also, as you said before, there'd be a lot of potential new feuds, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Abyss, Monty Brown. I think there's a lot of potential for you in TNA.
Yeah, you know, and once again, man, like, you know, fortunately, I'm at a point where I'm pretty financially secure, and, you know, like I said, I have a nice house, I have nice things, and I was at WWE for that, but, you know, if I go down there, man, I'm really going to put some heart and soul into it, like, if that would be what I choose to do. And just have a good time, man, and really give back, you know. And that's what I end up doing. I'm just going to make the most of it and enjoy it.
What do you consider your greatest accomplishment so far in your career?
I mean, to me, man, just you know, probably one of the greatest accomplishments was just signing that WWE contract, man, because that was the dream that my brother and I had from just being young kids watching TV, man. We just wanted to one day wrestle for the WWE and be under contract and make a living doing it. And I mean, you know, you look at things like winning titles and winning matches and whatever. I mean, in the end, that's all irrelevant. You know, winning, losing, it's really indifferent because it's not what it's about. And whenever we go out there night in and night out, we don't really win, we don't really lose. You know, we go out there and we perform. That's what we do. And just to know that you are good enough to get to go to the WWE and perform on that level, you know, and do it, you know, in my case, for over 7 years or whatever, you know, just that's an accomplishment in itself. You know, there's a lot of other things like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, like, I would have loved to have done and accomplished in the WWE. And I just think anybody who wrestles there, their ultimate goal should be to be the best in the business and, like, you know, be considered the champion. You know, and that's what I would love to do. And, you know, as hard or as, you know, as, you know, some people may think that is a very unbelievable goal. I mean, that's definitely was my goal, and it's something I was going to, you know, work towards, regardless of what happened or not, because I think you just can't. You can't sit back and be complacent, you know what I mean? Like, once you do achieve something, once we became the tag team champions, we wanted to, you know, be the tag team champions again, or be the best tag team ever, be in the best tag team match ever, and then, you know, after that, I wanted to be a singles champion, which I was able to do. So I accomplished, you know, a lot of goals, man, a lot of things along the way, and there's other things I would have liked to have done, but, you know, I can't be selfish and greedy, man. I accomplished a lot more than, you know, a lot of people thought I would, so I'm real happy with that.
You absolutely did. I was wondering, Matt, did you get a chance to see WrestleMania this year?
Yes, I did.
And what did you think of the show?
I thought it was a good show.
Okay.
I thought WrestleMania was a good show. I think it was pretty solid throughout. And, you know, there's just a lot of guys on there that I'm just going to be happy to see these guys succeed because, you know, because I'm such good friends with and had so many good experiences with. You know, so, yeah, I thought it was a good show. It was a little different. It didn't have the big WrestleMania feel of some of the other WrestleManias, just probably because, like, you know, I don't know. There were just things where you didn't have that one match on it that just stood out as like being, you know, just a dream match. Or I don't know. There was just something about it that didn't have an absolute WrestleMania feel. But I thought as a show that it was a really good, solid show.
Yeah, I agree with you. It definitely seemed like it missed something from a WrestleMania standpoint. But I agree with you. It was a very good show. And a couple more questions, Matt. We'll let you go. Do you have a favorite TLC match?
Yeah, it's the TLC 2 match, I think, was psychologically the strongest match that we had, you know, with the three teams, because everything, you know, it's hard to make a lot of sense in those matches, and I think that was the most solid match, and it was interesting, too, because you had the run-ins of, you know, of Lita and Rhino and Spike. But it's hard not to be a fan just of the TLC 1, man, just because that was the first time we did it, and it was in Raleigh, and it was just such a special feeling to go out and, you know, to have the first TLC match and have it just be such a smashing success and have people talking about it for, you know, so many years. It's just, you know, they both really stand out, so it's hard. I would just say those two probably rank up there as both being my favorites.
Who came up with the idea for version 1.0?
I did.
Okay. Do you feel that you received a fair push in WWE?
You know, I just, once again, I mean, what is a fair push? I mean, I just feel like there is, you know, there were a lot of times where I was doing some good stuff, especially when I was alone as version 1 and, you know, since that mattered to, even like there was one time where I was going to go into a program with, you know, take out Rey Mysterio and go into something with Edge and then work Rey Mysterio after that. And actually, I was swapped out and they put A-Train in that role. And just like, there were certain times where I definitely think I could have been utilized better and been given a little more and been trusted with a little more. Because I think any wrestling fan that sits back, any wrestling fan who's a pretty educated wrestling fan, like, you know, when I was given opportunities to have good matches or, you know, storylines or, you know, programs or whatever, like, I always made the most out of them. I mean, even, like, looking back at the, you know, Matt Lita Kane thing that we had, I mean, I always thought I made the most out of everything I was given in that, you know, and I was in a pretty tough role in that story. you know, and it's just, I always thought every time I was given an opportunity, you know, I lived up to the expectations, and I would think someone like that, you would just give them more opportunities and definitely keep giving them opportunities until, you know, they didn't live up to expectations. So.
What have you had any reactions to the releases of Rhino and Molly Holly?
Well, I've heard about the Rhino situation, and I don't know what the, you know, I don't know all the details specifically about it, but, you know, I feel bad for him. I know he's in a real bad place in his life right now. He's going through a real, you know, real nasty divorce, and he's got a little girl that he loves dearly, and, you know, she's going to be away from him, and, you know, it's just, people forget, man, that, you know, people that you see on TV, WWE superstars or wrestling superstars, I mean, and they're people too, you know, and they have major personal issues at some point in their life, and it's just, I don't know, man, it's just a tough situation, and I like Rhino. I think he's a nice guy, and, you know, I think he's one of those guys that still has a cult following, and they like him back from the ZCW days, but I don't know, it's just, I just hate that happened to him. And the thing with Molly, I think she's extremely talented as a female wrestler, and I really don't know what all the details were in her release, but, you know, once again, Nora, who is Molly, is another person who, you know, I've always liked a lot, too.
Yeah. Well, Matt, we want to thank you for the time today. This has been a great interview. We really enjoyed having you on this line. It's been a pleasure. Definitely check out thematthardy.com, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck. I think a lot of us are looking forward to you showing up in TNA, either working with your brother once again or possibly even going after Jeff Jarrett for that world title. So the best of luck to you.
I'm gonna get a world title in some way, shape, or form one of these days.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And like we said, Matt, thanks so much. All the best to you, and do take care, my friend.
You got it, man. Thanks a lot. It was nice chatting with you. And to everyone out there who does believe and support Matt Hardy, believe me, I thank you. And hopefully one day down the road we'll run into each other and you know, get to exchange a handshake or something. So I just really appreciate it, man. I appreciate all the support and all the love. I really do.
I appreciate it, Matt. Take care now.
All right, man. We'll see you.